Computer for the last 10 minutes. All right, let's go. Vayedaber Hashem, Parshas Pinchas. Parshas Pinchas. I'm all worked up. I'm all worked up. Mark. Okay, take a deep breath. Vayedaber Hashem el Moshe Leimar. Pinchas ben Elazar ben Aharon HaKohen. Pinchas, the son of Elazar, the son of Aharon HaKohen. So Pinchas was the grandson of Aharon. He has restored my anger from upon the Jewish people. When he expressed his vengeance, or my vengeance, when he acted with vengeance in an expression of what is truly kin osi, my vengeance. Okay, my vengeance. Okay, we got to put everyone here on mute. Okay, now a lot is going on here in this pasuk. Let's see right away. Rashi, pshat in the pasuk is as follows. Lefi shahayu hashavatim mevazim oisai. Now these psukim here in the beginning of the parsha takes us back to the end of last week's parsha. If you wouldn't analyze how many parshios there are in the Torah, where the end, the beginning of one parsha, is a direct continuation of the previous parsha, you would discover there are few and far in between. There are very few parshios. I think the most popular, the most famous would be Parshas Vayeshev and Parshas Vayigash. Right in the middle of the story of the drama was building up when they brought back Binyamin and the brothers to Yosef. And Yosef says to them, now I'm going to take Binyamin as a slave. At that moment in time, it was the peak of drama, the climax. And what happens? To be continued. Right? It's like Lahavdil Elif Alfi Avdolus, you're watching a television show. To be continued. So the truth is exactly what's happening over here in Parshas Balak. The end of Balak was Pinchas. It's really part of the story of Balak and Bilam. He gives Balak advice to cause the Jewish people to be nishlam kili arayos, and they are. And Hashem gets angry, and Pinchas comes to the rescue. And now Parshas Pinchas begins where we left off last week. You can probably count these parshios on your fingertips, on your fingers, the number of parshios that had a to be continued in the previous parsha. Rashi here makes it very clear that Parshas Pinchas indeed is a continuation, because he says that in last week's parsha, when Pinchas went and he attacked the prince, the Nasi, Lefi shahayu hashvatim mevazim oisai, the shvatim would be mevaz, they despise Pinchas. And what did they say? They said Hari Isen ben Puti. Did you see this son of Puti? They called him, they gave him a name called Puti. Shepitem avi imoy agolim la'avodas kochavim. His the father of his mother. Who was the father of his mother? This was who indeed was the father? It was Yisro? Hari Isen, I'm not so sure. Hari Isen ben Puti Zeh, let's go a little further. Did you see this person? Ben Puti Zeh, Shepitem Avi Imai, the father of his mother, Pinchas ben Elazar. So Pinchas was the son of Elazar. So who is the father of his mother? Who is Pinchas' mother? Who was the mother of Pinchas? Okay, hold on 1 second. And he gets up in front of everyone and he murders the Nasi. That is why it was necessary for the pasuk to trace his lineage to Aaron, to say it's not so, he did not do anything so terrible. Okay, let's hold back on the question. Let's just go a little further. What does that mean? Pinchas, he took revenge. He took the revenge that I should have taken. Bekotzpoy es haketzef shohoyeli liktzif. He cut down the anger that it was my duty to cut down. kol l'shain kinahu hamischade l'mkayim dikmas tavar. Every time we have the word kina, kina automatically means jealousy, and it means when a person gets angry to take revenge for something. Okay, so we have over here Rashi, let's review the pasuk according to Rashi. We have to come back and explain that point, which we'll come back in one moment. But here, Rashi is telling us the pshat in the pasuk. The reason why this pasuk Yud Aleph, is coming to be Miyachis Pinchas is because Pinchas did something that was very daring. Something very daring. He went and he murdered the Nasi. As it says in the end of last week's parasha, he took the Nasi. Who was the Nasi? The Nasi was
Zimri.
Zimri was the Nasi of which Shevet was he the Nasi of? I forgot everything.
Was it Reuben?
Shimon.
Okay. So he murdered the Nasi of Shimon. And this person, it's one thing if a person who murders, it would have been one thing if the person who murdered Zimri would have been an equal to Zimri, but he was not. He was the descendant of who they said he was an Oved Avodah Zarah. He was a lowlife. They were saying he was a lowlife. Therefore, in response to the complaint, Rashi is telling us that before we begin Pasuk Yud Aleph, we have to acknowledge that there was a complaint. He was not popular. There was a complaint against Pinchas. He murdered a Nasi, and he was not, in the eyes of the people, deserving, fit to take this act of zealotry in his hands, being who he was, his Zichus. Therefore, along comes Hashem, and Hashem is Miyaches, Pinchas, in front of the entire Klal Yisrael. He said that's not so. Pinchas was correct. Pinchas is a dignified person. His act of zealotry is not because he lacks nobility. Adarab, it's because he is a person of nobility. That's why he behaved the way he behaved. That's the first point we have to acknowledge. Pasuk Yud Aleph is coming to silence a complaint. A complaint that Pinchas is not fit for what he has done. No, Hashem says he is fit. Don't look at the mother's Yichus, look at the father's Yichus. Pinchas ben Elazar, ben Aharon HaKohen. He is the son of Elazar, the son of Aharon HaKohen. The word HaKohen is going back on who? Going back on, not on Pinchas, it's going back on Aharon. Heshivis Hamasim al b'nei Yisrael. He has restored, he has taken away, Heshiv means he has taken away my anger. And here Rashi explains some very powerful words. When it says, B'kanoi eskinosi, Rashi adds in some very powerful bear. He took the revenge that I should have taken. Hashem, at points in time, in history, he takes revenge. He comes forward and he acts. He seeks out retribution for wrongdoing. If we come forward and do the act of justice before Hashem has a chance to do so, that saves us an enormous amount of punishment. Chazal said, "Bizman sheyesh din lamata, ein din lamala." When there is din taking place in this world, it's not necessary for there to be din lamala. Pinchas, by behaving in the way he did, by taking out Zimri, that act silenced Hashem. Hashem no longer had the need to take revenge. And thus, the punishment that came to this world is a fraction of what would have been had Pinchas not done so. That's a very powerful idea. I mean, Rashi doesn't say that word for word, but that's how the Mefarshim learn pshat. If Pinchas would not have done this, then what would appear to have been, what happened was that years later, maybe right away, maybe 10 years, 30 years, maybe 100 years, Hashem would have punished, and the punishment would not have been just the death of Zimri. It would have been the death of who knows how many people, hundreds, thousands of people. By Pinchas immediately taking action and exercising the justice, this prevented much greater tragedy for Klal Yisrael down the line. That's an amazing principle. And that is the maila of what Chazal say, Bizman sheyesh din lamata, ein din lamala. Hashem is satisfied. Now by Chassidish Rebbes, they work with this principle. They do dugmois if there's a gzeirah, so they'll do a maisa, and in that little maisa, it should be fulfilled the gzeirah of Hashem. It's not necessary for it to play itself out in a more disastrous form. I once remember there's a famous story about one of the members of the Briska family, and they came to a wedding of their son, their child, and they said to the mechutin that it says in Chazal, "Ein kesuba." There's no such thing as a ksuba she'ein batigra, where there is not a fight. Every wedding, there's always the satan is there in full force and making trouble. Ein ksuba she'ein batigra. So one of the briska rabbanim, or someone in their family, he says to the mechutin, "I want to tell you something. I really don't like your tie. Your tie is ugly as sin. It is just hideous, this clothing that you're wearing." And Mechutin got angry, and he said, "Oh, Baruch Hashem, you're angry. It was now fulfilled. The ksuba, the tigra, was fulfilled over a narishkeit, over the color of your tie, and now it's smooth sailing. There's nothing, everything that tonight's going to go smoothly. There's not going to be no fights. No one's going to collapse. Everything, no one's going to lose the checks. No one's going to steal the presents. They're not going to lose the ksuba because, we were mekayim the tigra." And really, some say that's really what the purpose of breaking the glass under the chuppah. There are many reasons why we break a glass when we break a kli cheres by the tanoim and a glass under the chuppah. The pashto says in order to invoke yira, v'gilu b'ra'ada, not to forget that it's chum beis hamigdash, but there's another time is that the Satan is here. So let him have it, give him something. Throw him a bone. Pinchas did just that in a much more magnificent way. A terrible Chilul Hashem has occurred. A Nasi has committed adultery in front of Zanus, in front of the whole public. Even today, We have, on Rahman al-Islam, where things go on that you can't even imagine, you don't have something like this. So Hashem is not going to be silent. Hashem is not going to let this go by. And Pinchas comes along and he silences the anger that Hashem would have had to act it. Pinchas came along and cut it short by behaving in such a way. Okay, that's what Rashi says. The Kanoyas Kinasi took revenge. What does mean this kinasi? The revenge that I should have exercised. Bisaycham. And because of that, and because of the revenge, because he took action, he cut it short, it's no longer necessary down the line in 10 years, 20 years, 30 years. It's no longer necessary for me to ever exercise retribution for what has happened. Veluchilisi, espeshal bekinasi. And thus, he saved the Jewish people. I'm not going to have to finish them off in my anger, in my jealousy, what I would have done years later. Now let's take a look over here at the Targum very quickly. Pinchas ben Elazar ben Pinchas bar Elazar bar Aharon Hakana, I save yos chaim, see my anger. May al bnei Yisrael bidkani. Okay, bidkani just means my jealousy. Yos kin asi bnei hoin, the jealousy that I have had amongst them. V'lo sheit seisi. That's a very important word. The word sheit seisi means to destroy. That word comes up quite often, in fact. Yos bnei Yisrael bikinasi. It's very straightforward. The Mefarshim here don't seem to say all that much on this word. Let's go to Pasuk Yibes. L'chein emar. Therefore say to him, Hineni nasem layes b'risi shalom. I'm going to give him the blessing of shalom. I will give him the blessing of peace. Okay, let's see. Now the word shalom, as you all know, is avav kitua. It's supposed to be split. I'm amazed that here in the art scroll, Uncleus, they have it in print of Vav Ketua. Look how they did that. Amazing. Okay, it's Brisi Shalom. Let's see Rashi, Pasuk Yibes. It's Brisi Shalom. Shadehei Loi Livris Shalom. He will receive a bris of peace. Ka'adam Machzik Toiva V'chinois L'misha Oysa Imai Toiva. Hashem is going to thank him. Hashem here is giving Pinchas a Yashar Koyach. There are two people in the Torah to whom Hashem gave a Yashar Koyach. Moshe Rabbeinu and Pinchas. To Moshe Rabbeinu, Hashem said, Asher Shibarta, and Chazal Darshan, Yishar Koychacho Asher Shibarta. The word Asher is superfluous. Asher means may you be strengthened because you did a very good thing. You broke the Luchos, and that also silenced my anger. And the second one to do almost exactly the same thing in Tanakh is Pinchas. Pinchas, he murdered, he killed, executed, this person. This person by the name of Zimri, and by doing so, that silenced Hashem, and him. And what happened? Hashem also gave him a Yashar Koyach, and he gave him the Beris of Shalom. Who got a bigger Yashar Koyach? Who got a bigger Yashar Koyach? It's a tough call. It's a tough call. Who got a bigger Yashar Koyach? Moshe got Yishar Koychacha. May you be strengthened. You should be a gibor. Whereas Pinchas, he got the blessing of Shalom, of peace. Okay, of peace. And
not getting the words of Rashi, though.
Let's read it again. Let's read the words. Shehelo libris shalom, that he shall have a bris, a covenant of peace. Ke adam hamachzik toiva, a person that gives over blessing, goodness. V'chinois. Chinois means graciousness. You go over to a person and you hug him, you kiss him. Lemi, to a person. She'oise imoi toiva, to a person who has done with you a kindness. A person comes forward and is good to you, and he does chesed, you reciprocate. Afkan, perash loy HaKadosh Baruch Hu, she loy moisav. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has given Pinchas, has given him peace, a blessing of peace. Okay, now you're not calling right there, that's just someone. Hashem has reciprocated to give Pinchas a blessing for his kindness. In other words, again, Rashi is saying the same thing we said before, that Pinchas over here has done for Hashem a toiva. He has done a toiva. Hashem does not need now to punish Klal Yisrael. And the punishment would have been so severe, it would have been kiloyoin, as it says, chilisi. Therefore, I want to be makir toiv to you and give you a blessing of peace. Perash loy, Hashem extended HaKadosh Baruch Hu she loy moisav, his blessing of peace. Ein, the ultimate bracha is peace. And in this pasuk, it's not just peace, it's shalom with the vav kitua, which means shalem. When you break the vav, it has a connotation that you take away that letter. And when the letter is absent, then the word is shalem. Shalem means completeness. This is the ultimate bracha. Let's go to the Targum. The Targum is b'chein divrei emor ha gezarle. Now this is unusual. Gezarle as b'risi shalom. The word noisein is not translated with the word gezar. Gezar, if you remember last week in Parashas Chukas, zois chukas ha-Torah, do gezera oiraisa. A gezera has a very bad connotation. So why then here, in this pasuk, when it says, I'm giving him noisein loy, I'm giving him, is the connotation negative? Okay, it's not what we would expect. Now, I'll read you over here what it says. Okay, you don't have this. Let me just read you because it's very fascinating. The af shaloshin hakosef hu noisein, Shina v'tirgeim b'loshon kirisa, k'mo shebederech klal, k'seves atar derech asiyas bris, a covenant. V'chein hinei brisi itach, tirgem anohu gozar, k'aimei amach, I'm going to make, it will be established, k'aim means establish my covenant with you. So the Targum we're hearing this, the Ma'at Sodi, it's a very good parish of the Targum, is saying a very important Yisoid. The word noisein, according to the Targum, doesn't mean a gift. It means much more than that. It means a covenant. Avraham Avinu, was Hashem made with him the covenant of the bris bein habesarim. A bris is something that cannot be severed no matter what. Chazal say that today we no longer have zuchus ovos. The merits of our ancestors have run out. There's only that much credit you can gain for doing a mitzvah. But why then are we still around? Why do we survive? Bris avos, zuchus avos can come to an end. Chazal say zuchus avos came to an end at the time of Hoshea ben Be'eri, at the time of the last king of the Malchus of Israel. That's when the zuchus avos came to an end. So how come we're still here 2,500 years later? Because the bris avos never came to an end. A covenant, no matter what. That's what Rashi here learns. Pinchas, you did me a very big taiva. You did my work. I would have had to take care of this. But when Hashem does something, it's not swift. It's not immediate. There's a delay. And because there's a delay, consequences can be very, very great. You right away took care of the problem. I don't have to do anything at all. Everything is solved. I owe you a yashar koyach. I'm not just going to throw you a kiss. I'm going to make with you a covenant that you have peace, you have the blessing of peace, and that can never, ever be taken away from your descendants. Because it's like Avraham Avinu, begeder beris, not begeder zuchus. That's what we learn from the word of the Targum. Gozar, and not yesef, which would be the expected word for the Targum. That's a very powerful chiddush. Rashi, now when you look at that Targum, as we always try to say, Rashi is always responding to the Targum. And Rashi, it would appear, is not happy with the word God. There's a sefer, I don't know who made it, called What's Bothering Rashi? There's a fellow who put out a series of svarim on Chumash in English called What's Bothering Rashi? What's going on there? Talk to a psychologist. Why did Rashi say this? So you go to a psychologist, or go and look, analyze Rashi's life. Maybe his third grade Rebbe didn't smile at him, and it's lingering these bad feelings in his mind for 50 years. And finally, when Rashi came, he sat and he wrote this Rashi. Oh, it all came out. The bad feeling of his third grade Rebbe, or what happened to him on the school bus, or what happened to him in the street, or some bad business deal. What's bothering Rashi? A psychologist will tell you some story of his childhood, but that's not true. What's really bothering every Rashi is the Targum. That's where it's coming from. The Targum has gone here to an extreme. And he has said the word noisei means v'chorois imoi habris. It's no different than Avraham Avinu, with whom Hashem forged a covenant. When you make a covenant, you take something and you cut it. Gozar, you split it. You split it down the center. So the word, the translation of the word bris is gozar, is to split, to cut down the center. Rashi, the Targum, is telling us that's exactly what the word noisein. Rashi, excuse me, it doesn't say here the word V'choros imoy habaris. Doesn't say that. Who put that in? Who made the Targum say that? Therefore, Rashi, he says something very interesting. Ke'odam ha-machzik toivo, a person that's machzik. Machzik means you hold on to. Toivo, v'chinois, and chein. Chein is one of the most difficult words to translate in Chumash. Chein means grace, means a lot more than grace, but chein means an expression of love and grace and goodwill. L'misha oisei imoy toiva, afkan perash lo yakadosh baruch hu, Hashem spread out. He spread out, perash. These are very unusual words. Lo yakadosh baruch hu shil lo imoy sov, his peace. Why is Rashi so verbose? Why is Rashi saying words that we're not comfortable with? Peresh, akloy shiloy moisav, ka'odam hamachzik toiva. What's going on? What's the verbosity? What's driving Rashi mad is the Targum. Because the Targum says the word noisein loy, and the Targum goes to an extreme. Targum is the one that needs to go on the defense. Where does the Targum have the right to translate the word Meisein Lo, equivalent to what Hashem did to Avraham Avinu and made with him the Bris Bein HaBesorim. You don't find anywhere in Tanakh HaKadosh Baruch Hu referring to the covenant of Pinchas, a covenant. So Rashi is obviously very disturbed. And Rashi's response is, listen, I'm not going to be like you. I'm not going to go tell you there's any covenant here. But when it says the word Noisein, to give, it doesn't just mean a pat on the back. Rashi feels the need to elaborate. Pinchas, you did with me a very big taiva. Come, let's have a beer. Come into the Oval Office and let's have a beer. And let me have a photo op with you. And let me spend time with you. And let me shower you with love and peace. Noisein loy. To give. When Hashem gives, there's something very powerful. So it appears here that there is indeed a machlekes Rashi in the Targum as to the meaning of the word noisein loy. Targum, a bris, Rashi, no. Don't go that far. And the naftamina is, it can be taken away. If a person gives someone a gift, and then he's discovered that he's not deserving, then you know what? Give it back. It's over. Throw it into the river. Okay, it's gone if it's not deserving. Take it back. And indeed, when Pinchas Eliyahu HaNavi, who is Eliyahu Ze Pinchas, whatever that means, I don't know what that means, but Chazal say Eliyahu Ze Pinchas, or Pinchas Ze Eliyahu, he said about Klal Yisrael, Hashem didn't get rid of them. That's it. It's over for these people. They're impossible people. Impossible. It's time for you to exchange them for another nation. That's what he said. It's mamish what he said. They don't observe the bris milah. He said three complaints. And one of them was they don't do bris milah. They don't eat on the shul, the mizbeah. I don't remember. There were three things that he said. So Hashem said, that's how you talk about my people? Get lost. Get out of here. Get lost. He threw him away. And he had to do teshuvah. And Hashem punished him. You're going to have to go and witness every single bris milah that ever happens. Hashem took it away. Hashem was willing to take it away. What do you mean? How could Hashem dismiss Pinchas Ze'elio if it was a covenant? And we have a bris. Bris avos leitamu. The answer is, whoever said it's a bris? It's not a bris. It's a lavish gift, a lavish expression of love, but don't go so far to say it's a bliss. Next, Pasuk Yigimel,
Rabbi,
yeah.
Nevertheless, the Anspro chose to go with the covenant.
Covenant?
Yes, it's covenant.
Like the Targum. Wow. I will make a covenant with him.
Yeah.
Okay, Rashi Therefore, doesn't say that.
Behold, I give him my covenant of peace.
Well, that's the bris. That's the bris. That's what bris
means. No, that's a bris, but it's not a covenant. A bris needs the word v'chorois. You don't. A bris, there's a bris, and there is v'chorois imoy habris. The word covenant is a translation of two words. V'chorois imoy habris. If you take out the word v'chorois, that's not called a covenant. There is a treaty. Okay, in Israel, they have treaties every day. Okay, peace treaties, ceasefire treaties. And what is a treaty worth? It's worth nothing. Nothing. In English, we appreciate there's a treaty, whatever it means. A covenant is a much deeper, more powerful word. Covenant is a translation of two words. The word karisa with the word bris. Here, Rashi is taking issue with the Targum. It says bris, yeah, very nice. A treaty. But don't go so far and say that it is a covenant. And the nafka mina is, can it be revoked? A covenant cannot and a bris can. Let's go further. Pasuk Yud Gimel.
It looks like the Art Scroll is using the Yunkelis translation.
That's right. But in the front page of the Art Scroll, in the front page of the Art Scroll, it tells you that we are new in our translation. No one has ever done this before. We are faithful to Rashi. We will translate the words of the Pasuk according to Rashi. We will not follow Unkelus. And yet, we've already discovered so many times that it's not true. They are translating the words according to Uncalus, the tradition, the classic. It is fascinating that in Jewish history, translation of Chumash has always followed Uncalus. That's the way it is. This is a new thing they took upon themselves, and it was a minefield, because as we see more and more, it's not necessarily true what they're saying. They're translating. They're either ignoring Rashi, or they're not reading Rashi with the full depth. And when you look at their words really fit much better with what it says in Uncalus. But Rashi, as this whole purpose of the Shir is to show that Uncalus and Rashi don't get along. There is rivalry between them regarding the Pshuto Shel Mikra. Let's go further.
It looks like Rashi is really ignoring the word no saying.
He's not. That's exactly what I spent 10 minutes on. Rashi.
And I'm not getting it.
The verbosity of Rashi.
He's explaining, it looks like Rashi's explaining a brisi shalom. And Uncalus is defining no saying as.
Gozar. Gozar, when you make a covenant, when a covenant is made, you take something, you split it. I don't know the rules of covenants, but by the bris ben absarim, Hashem took the animals and he split them. Vayevater oisam batovech. He split them down the middle. You split. You take one, I take one. Together we're whole. That's the way, that is the ancient procedure. It's a ceremony. I don't know anything more than that, but when you make a covenant that is irrevocable, you take an object and you cut it down the middle, each party takes